Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Taking of Getty Oil is a work of business history and narrative nonfiction by Steve Call that examines one of the most consequential takeover battles in American corporate history, centered on the struggle for control of Getty Oil after the death of J. Paul Getty. The book traces how family fragmentation, corporate strategy, investment banking, and litigation collided in the contest between Texaco and Pennzoil. Rather than treating the episode as a narrow merger case, Call presents it as a study of how governance failures, personality conflicts, and legal risk can reshape an entire company and even threaten a major corporation with collapse. The book is designed to make a complex financial episode readable without stripping away its institutional and human stakes. It is especially relevant to readers interested in corporate takeovers, oil industry history, and the practical consequences of boardroom decisions under intense pressure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Getty family succession crisis after J. Paul Getty's death. A central theme of the book is the disorder left behind when J. Paul Getty died and the family enterprise lost its dominant founder. Call shows how inheritance issues, sibling conflict, and unclear control created a vulnerable corporate environment around Getty Oil. This matters because the takeover battle did not begin in a vacuum. It was enabled by a company whose ownership structure and family governance were already unstable. The book makes clear that internal fragmentation can weaken strategic judgment just as much as external competition. By focusing on the family dimension, Call explains why corporate decisions were shaped by personal rivalries and competing loyalties rather than by a clean business hierarchy. The result is a broader lesson about succession planning. When control is ambiguous, outsiders can exploit the uncertainty. And the costs are not limited to the family itself, but extend to shareholders, managers, and the market at large. Secondly, how Pennzoil, Texaco, and Wall Street turned a buyout into a legal catastrophe. The takeover contest itself is the book's most dramatic corporate mechanism. Steve Call reconstructs how Pennzoil pursued Getty Oil and how Texaco entered the picture with more aggressive financing and merger tactics, turning a business negotiation into a high-stakes struggle over control. The key point is that the battle was not only about buying assets. It was about how modern takeover strategy, legal exposure, and deal-making style interact. Call emphasizes the collision between traditional oil industry deal culture and Wall Street methods, which helped escalate conflict and confusion. This makes the book valuable as a case study in merger and acquisition risk speed, informal understandings, and competitive pressure can create liabilities that outlast the transaction itself. The eventual outcome, including the enormous damages awarded against Texaco, demonstrates that winning control of a company can become irrelevant if the process used to win it creates legal disaster. Thirdly, corporate governance failures and the vulnerability of large firms. Beyond the specific takeover, the book is a study of governance failure. Call shows Getty Oil as a company where boardroom ambiguity, weak authority, and divided interests reduce the organization's ability to defend itself or make coherent strategic choices. That weakness is important because it explains why the company became so exposed to outside manipulation and internal confusion. The book also suggests that governance is not only about formal structures, but about whether leaders can coordinate information, resolve disputes, and maintain credibility during crisis. Call's account highlights how managerial uncertainty can invite opportunistic behavior from rival bidders and lawyers alike. The broader implication is that even very large, wealthy corporations can become fragile when ownership, family influence, and professional management are not aligned. This is one reason the book remains useful to business readers. It shows that governance breakdowns are not abstract corporate theory, but real conditions that can trigger bankruptcy, litigation, and long-term reputational damage. Fourthly, narrative nonfiction as a way to make financial history readable. One of the book's distinctive qualities is Call's narrative method. Instead of presenting the takeover as a dry chronology, he uses reconstructed dialogue, character-centered scenes, and suspenseful pacing to render a complex financial event intelligible to non-specialists. This approach is significant because takeover battles often involve dense legal and financial details that can obscure causality. Call's writing helps the reader follow motives, alliances, and reversals without reducing the story to simple gossip. The benefit of this method is clarity with momentum. Readers can understand what each actor wanted and how each move altered the outcome. At the same time, the book demonstrates the limits of narrative business history, since dramatic structure can sometimes make it harder to step back and assess broader economic significance. Still, as a work of explanation, it succeeds by showing that corporate history can be both analytically serious and readable, which is why it has been widely noted for turning a complicated episode into a compelling account. Lastly, a cautionary tale about ambition, greed, and the cost of takeover warfare. The book ultimately frames the Getty Oil struggle as a cautionary tale about the destructive side of corporate ambition. The pursuit of control is not presented as a neutral market process. It is shown as a field shaped by ego, competitive pressure, and the temptation to override restraint in the name of victory. That perspective gives the story moral and institutional weight. Call does not simply describe who won and lost. He shows how a contest that began with business opportunity ended with bankruptcy risk, reputational fallout, and an extraordinary legal judgment. The caution is practical as well as ethical. Readers can see how a deal can unravel when participants misread legal boundaries, underestimate the importance of process, or assume that financial power guarantees control. In that sense, the book stands as more than a historical account. It is an example of how corporate ambition can become self-defeating when strategy, law, and governance are not properly aligned. In conclusion, The Taking of Getty Oil is best suited to readers who want serious business history, presented with narrative force. It will appeal to those interested in corporate takeovers, mergers and acquisitions, oil industry politics, legal conflict, and the role of family succession in large enterprises. Readers with a background in finance or law will find a vivid case study in how a takeover can become a litigation disaster, while general readers will appreciate the clarity with which Call turns a complicated transaction into a coherent story. What distinguishes the book from many similar corporate histories is its combination of institutional detail and dramatic structure. It does not merely explain a takeover. It shows how family dysfunction, boardroom uncertainty, Wall Street tactics, and courtroom outcomes formed one interconnected crisis. That makes it useful both as a historical account and as a warning about the hidden risks of aggressive deal-making. For readers seeking a book that explains how a major American corporation could be destabilized by one of the most infamous acquisition battles in business history, it offers both insight and memorable context. If you would like to support Steve Call, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast descriptions. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.